away. The worship team, I feel bad for them. They get to hear the sermon twice, so they have absolutely no excuse to walk away from this forgetting what they heard this morning. It's really feels great to be together again. Just that feeling of worshiping together and sharing together. Ben Carswell in the first service said that he loved the seating. He said it felt like business class on an airline. He says, all you need to do is get the... he goes, we've upgraded from, you know, economy to business. Now I can get, like, the footrests and stuff. I said, good on you, Ben. It's interesting because when we were at Southview many years ago and we went to two services, it was interesting. The first service, because it was at 10 o'clock, it was the normal time that we normally start. A lot of people came to that. But they got a much shorter service because we had to get ready for the next service. And then when the next service came on, we could take our time and relax. And then we started to notice that more and more people started coming to the 11 o'clock one because, first of all, they could wake up later. And second of all, they didn't have to be actually just rushed out the front door for the next service. So thank you for being here. I know that for a lot of you, you've made that sacrifice to come in a little later. For some of you, you feel blessed that we allow you to come in an hour later. So you're never really late, right? So this morning, we're getting into Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a Sunday that we celebrate in the church calendar. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts about what Pentecost is actually about. What do you think it is? Do you think it is the birth of the church? No, definitely not. Oh, wow, it really... No, how about that? No, it's not the birth of the church. The birth of the church happened on that that day in which Jesus, walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, encountered the first disciples and called them to him, and they followed him. That is church, people coming to Jesus and following him with the same mission together. That's the difference. That's not what happened in Pentecost. It's not the birth of the church. Well, then some people think, okay, is it the coming of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've seen the answer to that one already, right? No, it's not. Actually, the Holy Spirit came before this. And I know a lot of churches like to use both these items as being what Pentecost is about, but it's not. If you go to John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So, if Pentecost is not the coming of the Holy Spirit and not the birth of the church, well, what was it all about? Now, those of you who weren't here in the first service and don't know the answer to this, like these guys in the front row, what was the festival of Pentecost actually all about? Anyone know? It's okay because no one knew in the first service, so if anyone pulls it off here, anyone know what Pentecost was about? It was the day the nation of Israel was given the Ten Commandments. Someone's laughing back there. Was that right? Do you guys have it? The day they received the Ten Commandments. I can guarantee you most people in churches, including pastors, don't know that. And I wonder why. Because the question for you is this. Why would that be a big day? And why would the Holy Spirit empower the disciples on that day? Anyone know? What was so powerful about being given the Ten Commandments? Remember the law. It was a day in which they celebrated receiving the law. It was a day in which they were set apart. It's not the law that we know and feel like today, you know, like don't drive over 60 and all that. Even though there were a set of rules that they had to follow, the law was far more deeper than just law. It was identity. It was a covenant between them and their God. It's what set them apart. It wasn't just about doing what is right, which it was. It was also about being something, someone, set aside, a nation that is different from the rest of the nations. It also unified them. It brought about unity. There's power in this, and this is what they came to celebrate at Pentecost. They came to celebrate the law, the covenant they had with God, the unity that made them a nation different from everybody else. So then you've got to ask, how is it different for us today then? I mean, what's the difference? Here's the difference. Up until this point, Jesus was walking with them. He was there with the disciples. He was the point. If there was trouble, he sorted it. If there was teaching, he taught. If there was arguments and bickerings amongst them, he sorted it out. But guess what? He's not there anymore. He's gone. What is going to unite us? What is going to bring us together? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You see, on Pentecost, we're not just reminded of the law anymore. We're reminded of grace. We forget the message that Peter gives to the people on Pentecost. Too many people in our churches focus on the little tongues of fire and the power of the Holy Spirit as though he's some parlor trick. But we forget the words that he actually gives to Peter and the power he is filled with when he goes out into the marketplace and preaches the word of God. He reminds them, look, I know you followed the law, but there is grace now. We were covered by the covenant of that law. Now we are covered by the covenant of the blood of Christ. That's what we remember on Pentecost. And he goes on. It's not what is about what's right or wrong. We can't do anything to make it right or wrong. It's in his power, not ours. And Peter is a living example of that. A guy that just a few moments before this was holed up in a little room, fearful of going out. And here he is, boldness out. Not through his own power, but through the Father. And it wasn't just about a nation being set apart anymore. It was gathering all peoples. Pentecost showed the power of what the Holy Spirit does. It gathers all peoples. All of a sudden, everyone's hearing the gospel message in their own language. And as you continue reading on through Acts chapter 2, you are then amazed at how unified this new body of believers are. We've kind of relegated the Holy Spirit to Sunday morning parlor tricks. And I say that knowing that I'm most probably offending some of you. But that's the reality of it. Slain in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. We do all these great things. We walk out the door and we're neither emboldened or strengthened or empowered. It's interesting because Jesus in John 14 and John 15, he refers to this Holy Spirit, this new spirit coming to fill the disciples. He refers to them as the helper. The Greek word for that is parakletos, which truly translated actually means comforter. He comes to comfort us. But sometimes we're way too comfortable to be comforted. When I hear pastors in particular, or teachers, or worship leaders up front on a stage praying for fire to come down. Fire came down when Elijah was cornered by hundreds of prophets who wanted his head. When Peter and John were thrown in prison, when they were released, they went back to the believers and they all got down and prayed and the ground shook. But it didn't stop there. They went out emboldened, even though they had just been in prison for doing that very thing. That's how the Holy Spirit works. I don't read in the Bible of a mass group of people getting into a nice little room, all cozy, fire falling on us, and then walking out like nothing happened. I read about the ground shaking. I read about power. I read about people walking out emboldened to share the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. The Comforter, the Helper, he comes to us. And on that day in Pentecost, he shows us in just a chapter what church is about. It's about empowered to share the gospel of Jesus, doing it together, and being comforted even when everything is against you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The word witnesses, the Greek word is martyres. Anyone want to venture a guess what that word is normally translated as? Martyr. I love Bible translators. Martyres. We'll translate it martyr on one side and witnesses on the other. Because it's more palatable if we read this as witnesses, right? Who wants to be a martyr? But that's where the challenge lies. That's why we need a comforter. Because he's going to empower us with the Holy Spirit to go out and share the good news. And you will die for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's interesting. My little clicker's not working properly. It's already gone to that next slide. But in Luke 12, 11 to 12, it says this. "When you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say." I shared in the earlier service, I'm a big advocate for training. I think if someone's going to come up and preach, they should be trained. But there are times in which I've had people come up and talk, and the power of the Holy Spirit just, you hear it, and you come up to me and say, "Where'd that come from?" And they'll just respond, "I have no idea." Because that's how the Spirit actually works. It's not like, "Oh, give me two more songs and I can feel him. A little bit longer, let's pray a little bit longer. Let's beat our chests a little bit more. He's going to come." We sound more like the prophets of Baal than we do the followers of Christ. He will answer for you. He will defend you. He will unite us. He will challenge us. Whereas Jesus stands at the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for you and for me, the Holy Spirit is here challenging us as the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. That's what Pentecost is all about. Don't stop at the tongues of fire. Read on. And don't stop at the gospel message. Read on. Because if you're Penty, you stop at the tongues of fire. If you're a conservative, you stop at the gospel message. But you don't get the whole thing. Because that final paragraph of Acts chapter 2 tells you everything. That we're in unity as one body. Welcome back. So much better than preaching to a camera, right? It's a challenge this morning. Happens to be Pentecost Sunday. And you all know me well enough not to mince words. But I challenge you this morning as you go out today and as you spend the week, read the whole of chapter 2 in Acts. Don't stop where you like it and stop at the tongues or stop at the gospel message. Go all the way and see the fullness of how the Holy Spirit works in reminding us of the grace and salvation we have through Jesus Christ, in reminding us of his sacrifice, in challenging us and emboldening us to go out and share that gospel message. No one of you in here, how many of you think you've got the gift of evangelism? Maybe one or two of you. The rest of you are like, oh, no. Let the Holy Spirit embolden you. Because it's not through your power, it's through his. And we do it together. For the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, forgive us, Lord, that we at times maybe treat the Holy Spirit in such a way and forget what he is here for. And on a day like today, Pentecost, that we remember, some of us think it's the birth of the church or the coming of the Holy Spirit. Those are not bad things to think. But the fullness of what chapter 2 of Acts is about. The coming of your people and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The life-changing news of Jesus Christ. May we experience the Holy Spirit here. May we experience him out there. May we experience him in our moments of utter and complete fear or in our greatest joys. Holy Spirit, live and abide and empower us to be bold in Jesus' name in the places where we make our being. We ask this in Jesus' name.